Welcome to GFT, Galactic Figure Talk, a podcast about Star Wars and Star Wars action figure collecting.
Awesome, yeah!
The reason they're 3¾ inches tall is because the first mock-up figures that I made were Fisher-Price Adventure People.
I will freeze your body in carbonite forever, Han Solo!
Not so fast!
We finally launched 6-inch when I felt the time was right. We needed a new spark.
We started selling all of the action figures through the fan club, and our most successful was the Cantina Band. That was enormously one of the best-selling items we've ever sold through the fan club.
I used my nephew as a hand model on the Waffle Box. He's the one with the little hand that's in there.
It's Kenner's new Star Wars action figures.
Now, welcome your host, Chris B.
Welcome to another episode of GFT, Galactic Figure Talk. My name is Chris B. I'm your host, and on this episode, I want to talk about all the latest Star Wars action figure news. So let's do it! So it's been rather slow in the world of Star Wars action figure collecting. There have been hardly any announcements, but there's been some. And the one company that's been giving us new stuff is Disney. And they've come out and they announced that they are going to have a 6-pack of droids. Actually, they didn't just announce it. They just, like always, they kind of just put it up on their website and sold it. And it's a 6-pack of rainbow-colored astromech droids. This is a multi-pack that's available for Pride Month, for next month actually, but it's already shipping. It's basically 6 droids which are painted up in the colors of a rainbow. So you get 1 red astromech, you get an orange one, a yellow one, a green one, a blue one, and a violet colored one as well. And if you line them up in a row, it kind of looks like a rainbow. So this set costs $74.99. That's pretty pricey, but you do get 6 droids. So that's new. And as if 6 Pride droids weren't enough, you get an additional one, which is single carded for $14.99. And that is a BB unit that's also painted up in happy colors, so to speak. And this droid's name is BB Y0U, so that it reads BBU. So 7 droids is what Disney has basically come out with. And if you were to purchase them all, it catapults you over the $75 threshold. So you get the free shipping, basically. And then once you add the tax on top of that, you end up paying about $99 for those 7 repainted droids. Now, all those droids use the Builder Droid parts, which Disney's been using in the theme park. So you can take them apart if you wanted to. So you can take the legs off, you can take the dome off, and if you wanted to, you can mix and match them as well. So if you don't want to have an all red astromech droid, you could go ahead and you could put the yellow dome on it and give it a violet leg, for example. So you can really, mix and match those droids, basically. Yeah, as far as new announcements for Star Wars action figures go, this was basically it. So 7 repainted droids at shopdisney.com right now. And I've also seen some pictures of those showing up in the Disney theme parks on both coasts as well. So the second wave of retro collection figures based on A New Hope is out. That's the Shop Disney / Hasbro Pulse exclusive. This is really a bit of a weird one because when it was announced, I think they did say that the price was about $94.99. At least that's the price that I had written down in the database on Galactic Figures when the announcement came out. And turns out that it's not $94.99, it's $89.99 on ShopDisney.com, but it's a whopping $20 cheaper if you purchase it on HasbroPulse.com. Why the price difference? I don't know, because in the past they've been pretty consistent, especially when it comes to the Vintage Collection multi-packs, which are also shared exclusives between Shop Disney and Hasbro Pulse, and the price stayed consistent for those. But in the case of the six-pack here, there is a $20 price difference, so it's pretty drastic, especially if you're in it for two of them. You could save $40 by just going to a different website and clicking a few buttons there instead of on the Disney website. I had the opportunity to unbox those figures and add them to the website. So if you want to get a more detailed look at all those six remakes of the original figures, they're up on galacticfigures.com, so you can check those out. In short, I think they turned out pretty good overall, especially C-3PO and R2-D2 are the stars, in my opinion. The VAC metallization on C-3PO is fantastic. It looks amazing. I mean, it's really close to the original. You can even take it apart. So you can break it apart into two arms and two legs and the torso with the head, basically. And I think that's pretty cool. And it's also pretty amazing to have a C-3PO which doesn't have loose limbs. So that's pretty cool. R2-D2 also looks really good. The shiny dome on it, really, really well done. And as far as the other four figures goes, they're also good. They're just not quite as good, I would say. If you compare those to the original Kenner figures, I've noticed that the details on all of those figures is a lot softer than on the Kenner versions. Now, you might think that's a bad thing or a good thing. I don't know. For me, it's a bit of a head-scratcher why they can't get the details as closely to the original. But yeah, it is what it is, and it's not a deal-breaker by any means. The only other thing I'm going to say is that the Death Squad Commander, for example, the legs, the way they are assembled, are really close together. Whereas the one that I have from my childhood days has the legs spread out a lot more. So it does look quite different, actually. But overall, I'm very happy with this set. And now you can get both of them. So you can get the first six-pack and a second six-pack to have all the remakes from Hasbro off original Kenner figures, basically. And I think that is pretty cool. So they're still available on Shop Disney and on Hasbro Pulse. So if you want to get those, check the links in the podcast description and check out the reviews on galacticfigures.com for each of those. Then I had the opportunity to take a look at the Vintage Collection Paz Vizsla figure. And yeah, I really like this one. I mean, it's a deluxe figure, so it does cost $27.99 plus tax, plus shipping. So you're probably looking at over $30 for this non-exclusive 3¾-inch figure, unfortunately. But the price aside, I think the figure itself turned out wonderfully. It's really, really well done. It looks just like the character, and it's a bulkier guy. It's a little taller than other 3¾-inch figures. And interesting is that the accessories included here are more plentiful than the Black Series 6-inch version, for example. So you get, for example, a shield, a blue round shield that you can put into a hole on the left forearm. That's an accessory that 6-inch fans are not getting. And there's also a knife included, or a dagger, that you can store in Paz Vizsla's right boot. So that's, again, an accessory which was not included in the 6-inch version. Yeah, it's overall a really good figure. You can plug the backpack into the back of the figure. You can take that heavy cannon that the figure comes with and attach it to the backpack so that Paz Vizsla can carry it on the back. And best of all is that the figure can actually hold this large weapon really well in the hands, and you can pose them that way, and it looks really cool. They've also included flame accessories, two of them for the thrusters and the jetpack, and then one which you can attach to the front of the weapon, so it kind of looks like he's using it and shooting it. So it's a really good figure, and it's really the only 3¾-inch version of this character, so it's not like you have a lot of choices to pick any other versions up. This is the one that you do want to get, and I think Paz Vizsla had some great moments in the Mandalorian TV show. He always looked imposing when he was on screen, and then of course in season 3 in the finale he had a really cool moment towards the end, and it's a cool character, it's a great figure, and well worth picking up despite the very expensive price tag. So again, for more details, high-res pictures, commentary, the accessory guide, check out galacticfigures.com. Now, if you haven't seen it yet, I've published a beginner's guide to Star Wars, the Vintage Collection, on galacticfigures.com, where I'm basically making a case why you should be collecting the 3¾-inch line, but also kind of give you an overview of what the Vintage Collection really is all about, when it started, when it was announced, when it went in hiatus, and how it was announced when the re-release was announced again at Star Wars Celebration back in 2017. And I think it's a good piece to have on the website for people who are new into collecting, who are kind of in between the Black Series 6-inch line and the 3¾-inch line, because you guys know the 6-inch line and the 3¾-inch line, they're eating each other up. Hasbro is releasing the same characters across both lines nowadays, and so if you are somewhat new to collecting and you don't really know what the Vintage Collection is all about, I'm gonna put the link to the article in the description, and it's a quick read, and it gets you up to speed about what TVC is all about, and also the 3¾-inch line in general. Now, as far as store reports goes, the latest Vintage Collection wave is out at Target and at Walmart, which includes Captain Piet and the re-release of Starkiller and the Phase 2 Clone Trooper on an Andor card, for example. So Hunter is also in that wave. So those figures have been showing up locally. I'm, of course, still looking for that Clone Trooper myself. Haven't found him yet, but come across all the other figures, though. And it's amazing how fast these stores now sell through once they get new figures in. The only figures which are still sitting at my local Target stores are the two Andor figures with Cassian and Vel. I think there's like four of each of them. And they've been sitting there since, I think it's the end of February now. So this is kind of like the new Lando in my area, at least. Although I've seen some posts in the Galactic Figures community Facebook group that some people have not found those yet. So I guess it depends on your distribution in your area. But again, here in the Seattle area, especially in the north of Seattle, those figures can be found at every Target store that's out there. Other than that, Target stores still have their Return of the Jedi 40th anniversary end caps set up. The figures that have shown up here locally are the Gamorrean Guards, which at some point was exclusive to Target, but those Gamorrean Guards have also shown up on Amazon, and they're actually sold and shipped by Amazon and not a third-party seller, which is kind of weird, because how long was that an exclusive to Target? Maybe for a week or something? So if you can find those at Target, you can also go to Amazon now and look for the Black Series Gamorrean Guard in Kenner packaging on that website as well, and get it shipped from Amazon. And then looking at overseas of what's going on there in Asia, the new wave of TVC figures, which includes the newly tooled Darth Vader with removable helmet and the new Endor Han Solo figure, for example, those figures have shown up on robotkingdom.com. If you want to get them early and pay a markup, if you have to have them early and don't want to support local stores or the local economy, you can always go to China and have them shipped over here. I guess we're about another 2 months or so, 6, 7, 8 weeks or so away from those actually showing up here, hopefully a little sooner. But those figures are also making the rounds now online of people getting some of those. And other than that, I don't really have any other Star Wars action figure news to talk about for this episode. So before closing out the show, I'd like to talk about Mark Boudreau for a little bit, who sadly passed away just recently. He, of course, is the legend at Hasbro that worked on the Star Wars toy line for over 40 years. And he worked on pretty much every mini rig that's come out during the Kenner days. And he basically worked on the brand for almost 40 years. And I say almost because, as we know, there was a period in between where there was no Star Wars toys being made by Kenner or by Hasbro. And I don't think there's ever going to be anybody else going to take his place. And I mean, nowadays, staying in the same job for 40 plus years, that by itself is amazing. But then also getting to work on one specific brand on top of that, you know, among other things that he's done. I think he's also worked on the Real Ghostbusters for a while and stuff like that. But, I mean, of course, we know him as the legendary Star Wars toy designer. And the first time I met Mark Boudreau was, I think it was 2012 in Orlando at the Star Wars Celebration. And Hasbro was just moving away from the vintage collection, and they were looking for a cheaper option to put out, and they had come up with the idea to make some of the vehicles a little smaller and adjust the price point down a little. And at the time when he showed me the vehicles that he had worked on, I think there was a Slave One, which was about a $20 price point, something like that. So it was definitely the smaller sized vehicles. I think there was a tank also, a clone tank that he had worked on that was in that lineup. And he was so excited that he had figured out a way on how he could reduce the assembly cost by just using a handful of screws to put the vehicle together, basically. And he was extremely excited about that back then. I remember that. And I thought it was such a strange detail, right? But, you know, once you started talking to him about toys, or Star Wars toys specifically, I mean, he would just light up and he could just talk and talk and talk and talk. And I loved every minute of it. And, you know, he talked to me about the Epic Continues that back in the days and how they were trying to get Lucasfilm to approve another line of Kenner figures based on the Clone Wars. And that was back in 1985 when there was basically nothing known about the Clone Wars, right? But yeah, I mean, he always took his time. He was also a part of some of the Q&As that I've done with Hasbro over the past decade or so. Yeah, the last time I saw him was at Star Wars Celebration in Chicago, where he walked through the entire booth with me and we talked about all kinds of things. We talked about Vec metalizing, for example, and I asked him why none of the figures are being Vec metalized anymore. And it's actually kind of interesting because, you know, they've just come out with the Retro 3PO and the Retro R2, which do have Vec metalization implemented, obviously. And I just talked about this a little earlier in the podcast. But, you know, I talked to him about this, why Hasbro is not using Vec metalization anymore. And he then talked about it being very expensive to do. It's a very expensive process. It's there's some environmental issues with that process as well. Then he also talked about how there's a risk of the figures chipping, especially when they have a lot of articulation. And so that was an issue. And then also legalese were an issue, apparently, for Vec metalization, and selling those kinds of figures in different countries required different legal statements on the packaging, apparently, which over the last few years has become less and less of an issue if you haven't noticed what the packaging looks like these days on the back with like a gazillion different languages on it, covering basically every territory that Star Wars figures are being sold in these days. So I think that's less of an issue nowadays. But anyway, so he was really, really into that and talked to me in length about why, you know, VEC metallization is currently not in the cards. But I'm glad that's changed, though. But then he also talked about the sail barge and how he was really proud of what the entire team had pulled off with it. And he loved the fact that the sail barge was barrier-free and that figures could walk from one end of the ship to the other without running into any walls, so to speak, as if it was a real ship design, basically. He also talked about the fact that the handrails were, you know, designed in a way that the figures could actually grab them and hold on to them when walking up and down the stairs. And the same goes for the skiff. The figures can actually hold on to it. And he talked about the weapon storage in the skiff and how he was proud of that and how they could how they pulled that off. And so, yeah, he just really got into, you know, the toys on such a deep level that he could just talk about this stuff forever. And he also mentioned that the sail barge was about 80% of what it's supposed to be, shrunken down basically to that scale. But that's a thing for all the Star Wars toys in the 3¾-inch scale. So it's about 80% is what he said to me, is what the sail barge is. But, you know, it's those kinds of details that he got so excited about. And it's also those kinds of details that you never hear about anybody talk about, you know. But if you're really into the toys and you make an effort to travel to those conventions and you make an effort to connect with the people who work on those toys, you know, you get those kinds of experiences. And it's really sad that the world of Star Wars action figure toys has lost this legend of a man who's worked on this for over 40 years.
I've been an AT-ST driver, a stormtrooper. I've been an Endor rebel. Sometimes we are able to actually put our faces onto Star Wars characters. Back in the day, I had a little less gray. I am a toy designer. I love toys. It's more than just a job. I'm probably best known for working on Star Wars. I first started back in 1977, and that's right when we had received the Star Wars license. You had this film that everybody kind of passed on. We say kind of like, oh, for $50 in a handshake, we got the Star Wars license. I kind of gravitated towards the vehicle. I think I had the temperament and the patience to do the vehicle development. My first big major project was the Millennium Falcon, and I'm designing the new vehicles for Episode 7. We had to be able to design the turrets so that it would hold Chewbacca, but and then also standard sort of 6-foot characters. Well, we've got a basic read of the script. Because we haven't seen the film yet and we don't know all of the little quirks that happened with the Falcon, we kind of went for a lot of what we call off-camera features. They don't really exist in the film. For instance, that turret popping up does not actually exist. Even though it's made up, it wants to be like, oh wow, yeah, that was a feature that's really in the Millennium Falcon. They just never happened to press the button. Star Wars is, you know, just kind of in your face, gritty. There's hinges, there's piping, there's electrical, you know, there's vents, you know, all that stuff to make it real. Even though it's a galaxy far, far away, I think Star Wars is real. Yeah, they're fancy spaceships, but there's that certain sort of love for going on adventures. Toys embody all of the fantasy that kids love to engage in. They come out of the film, oh, I just love this film. The toys then allow the kids to bring that fantasy to life every day.
Now, what you just heard was recorded back in 2015 through Bloomberg, where they did a segment about The Force Awakens coming out. And that's where I'm going to wrap up this episode of GFT Galactic Figure Talk. Thank you guys for listening, and I'll catch you on the next one.
It's a wrap for this episode, but the next one is just around the corner, so make sure to subscribe. Meanwhile, have fun browsing over 4,000 Star Wars figures on galacticfigures.com. The Star Wars Action Figure Database. The website helps you look up and identify Star Wars figures. Leave your own figure reviews in the comments or check out photo galleries, figure info, news, press releases, or event coverage from New York Toy Fair and Star Wars celebrations. Thanks for listening. Check the links in the description and remember to subscribe.
I am a toy designer. I love toys. It's more than just a job.